Since the theme is joy, last week, this week, certainly at Christmas, it's all about joy. I want you to think about what was the most, the experience that you had of joy in your life. The most intense joy that you ever felt. Can you recall in your life a time of joy? Whether it was for a few moments, or whether it was for hours or days, or weeks or months. Certainly nobody lives in joy constantly. That's eternity. That'd be heaven, to be able to live in joy, a state of joy of being. But that's where you're going to go one of these days. But before then, you're here. But think about that. And don't tell me that it was the day you were born. Because you probably came out like the rest of us, crying and screaming and hollering and wanted to stay in that womb. But I bet you, though, your mother experienced great joy that day. After the pain was over, they say that women have an unbelievable sense of joy. Seeing the birth of a child, this miracle that comes out of their body, and the joy and the sense that brings to them. I'm sure you can recall that and bring it back to you. But that, take that and add times that, thousands, millions, billions, trillions times that experience. And that's what joy in heaven is going to be like. It's indescribable. We can't describe it. People can't. Dr. Alexander couldn't describe it, but it's there. And it's a joy that can never be taken from you. There's a lot of joy and rejoicing that's going on in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, Luke's Gospel is often called the Gospel of Joy. The angel's announcement of the coming birth of John the Baptist to his father Zechariah, if you can remember, included the words, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And perhaps it was this same exact angel who later made another stop to tell some shepherds about the birth of Jesus. And what the angel said to them was, "I proclaim to you good news of great joy." And then when Elizabeth, Mary greeted Elizabeth, the unborn John the Baptist in her womb had leapt for joy. And on that same occasion, if we read a little bit further, Mary would sing her Magnificat. And she would say, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." See, it's all about joy and rejoicing. So I went to the dictionary. And I looked up definition of joy. And I preached upon it, I know, last week. But I went, and joy can be feelings. It can be feelings of well-being, of happiness, delight, success, good fortune, and pleasure. That's what the dictionary would say. In Scripture, joy comes from knowing that salvation is close by. Joy, I would say, comes from knowing that you are saved, which you all are. That brings joy, knowing that you are saved. You don't have to worry about anything. I'm telling you, don't worry about anything. You're saved. God does, that's all God does, wants to do. Like any good parent, God wants his children, her children, to have joy and to have the fullness of life. Why would God want anything else from his children? What a bizarre God you got if you got a God like that. You are all people of faith. Now, I ask you, as people of faith, what are you joyful about? What brings you joy? Did you experience joy this past week? I hope you did. And if you didn't, then you need to go back and say, well, why didn't I? What's getting in the way of my being a joyful person? Because as I said last week, it's a choice. They said Lincoln, and they say, you know, a person is as happy as a person wants to be. It's up to you. It's an attitude. You can be negative. You can be, you know, down in the dumps. You can, you know, oh, woe me, my story. Oh, I'm the victim. I'm this, I'm that. And you can live there. Or you can choose not to. And you can spread joy, and you can spread good news. Or you can be just bad news to everybody around you. I don't know why some people like that, I guess. It's pretty, what brought you joy? And how can you bring joy to somebody else in your life? Because when you bring joy, that brings you joy. To me, what brings me joy, great joy, is sitting in God's presence, reading, praying, knowing that I'm surrounded by that presence. And open myself to that presence. It's pretty impossible for me right now not to talk about Christmas at this point. I mean, after all, tomorrow we'll begin the cycle of liturgies, celebrating the day that we've been eagerly anticipating. But have you noticed for the last 2 weeks somebody missing in the Gospels? Have you noticed who's been missing? Who? Jesus. He hasn't been in the Gospels the last couple of weeks, has he? No, he hasn't. It's as if Jesus is waiting in the wings to make a grand entrance now at the close of the season of Advent. And here he comes. And last week, he was mentioned. But he wasn't there. John pointed to Jesus, saying that's the one, and he points us in the right direction. And today, this time, Jesus is technically, he's on the scene, isn't he? But he's concealed. He's in his mother's womb. You can't see him. But already, his life is having an effect on those who are sensitive to his presence. Already, he's having an effect on John the Baptist in the mother's womb, and on Elizabeth. You see, John, the forerunner in his own mother's womb, announces the presence of the one who is to come. He takes a literal leap of faith in the womb, and his mother feels it. Are you aware of the nearness of Christ to you right now, as you are aware that Christmas is coming upon us? Christ is present. He promises us, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in your midst. Do our hearts leap to attention today of this Christ who is in our midst? Does new life stir within us? Is it perceptive? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Some of you may experience a rush of happiness when you come to the sacrament of the Eucharist. Something may happen to you in the Eucharist that embodies the life of Christ. Like the doctor, after his experience, when he came back and went to communion, he just wept and wept and wept. That's a special gift. The gift of tears is a special gift. It's a spiritual gift. And if you're that spiritually sensitive, if you have it, thank God for it. I know other people, they find it in their faith-sharing groups, when they're sharing their stories with one another about their faith and about our shared faith stories, they find Christ there, in their midst. And then some people sense this presence when they take time out of their day to pray, to be silent, meditate, and wait, and listen, and experience that presence. And if you do, that's a spiritual gift. And if you have it, you should thank God for it. Others, I think, sense the nearness of Christ when they're doing things, when they're actively involved in helping people, in doing something to enrich another person's life. Then they experience the presence of Christ. Some people, some of us leap to attention and awareness of this of the holy that's always around us when we're going to the hospital, visiting somebody who's sick or dying, or I'm sure a parent who's taking care of a sick child, or a father taking care of their family members, or maybe when you're keeping vigil with somebody who's mourning, who's lost somebody who died that's very close to them, or that you're counseling somebody who's in trouble or having difficulties, or other acts of generosity or self-sacrifice. There you find Christ is present. The presence of Christ is not selective. It does not stand on ceremony alone. You don't have to come here to experience that presence. You can be doing the dishes. You can be sweeping the patio. You can be reading a book when your heart takes a leap and you are thrilled to be reminded that Christ is near. That he seeks your company. He wants to be your friend. Now, some of you, I know, you've shared your experiences with me. You experience this and you know this intimacy. But others of you may feel something spiritually exotic is being said here by Father Richard. Or there's an apparition that it's not meant for you or to include you. But I would say this to everyone here. Today, the commemoration of the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth is your personal invitation to welcome that experience of Christ in your own life. You see, please hear this, everyone. Jesus wants to visit with you. And he may come hidden in the body of another. Not many have visions or voices. But he comes to us in another. It may be your friend. It may be your spouse. It may be your son, your daughter. It may be a friend. It may be a stranger. It may be a homeless person. It may be a familiar neighbor. It makes no difference. Wherever you are, you can look for him. And the reason is this. He's no longer in Bethlehem. He's no longer in a crib. He grew up. He suffered. He died. And he rose. And so now he escapes physical time and space. So he can be anywhere and everywhere at the same time. It's just up to you and I to open ourselves to that presence. I don't know how you do it. I know how I do it. And it brings joy. Here's one I offer you. It works for me. I don't know if it may work for you. When you're ready, you really have the intent to want to know that presence and experience the Christ. And get yourself, quiet it down. And you know the prayer? Christ before me. Christ above me, Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me, Christ behind me, Christ below me, Christ all around me, Christ within me. Practice it. It works.